And now here is an announcement of special interest to sports fans. This afternoon's race at Newmarket for the Bradbury Gold Cup resulted in another victory for the Queen Mother. This was an extraordinary achievement, as all the other runners were horses. I'm sorry, I'll read that again. This was an extraordinary achievement, as all the other runners were horses of exceptional ability.
This is, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, an extravaganza specially written for the wireless by several persons and featuring a number of performers.
This is the cultural service of the BBC. English for beginners. Part one, grammatical syntax. My name is Beatrice, and I shall be reading the sentences to you. While Julian...
Hello, I'm Julian.
...will be giving the points of grammatical interest. So now, if you're ready, we'll begin. Who is afraid of the big bad wolf?
Interrogative.
My auntie is in the garden picking flowers.
Adverb phrase of place.
My uncle is not in the garden picking flowers.
Not an adverb phrase. Please.
My uncle is in the potting shed.
Fact.
My auntie would still be in the garden picking flowers if the wolf were not eating her.
Conditional clause type B, improbable circumstance.
The wolf is scratching my auntie.
Clause relative.
Grrr, says the wolf.
Onomatopoeia.
The wolf is tearing down my auntie's...
Indefinite article.
My auntie cries from inside the wolf.
Indirect speech.
My auntie is dead.
Feminine ending.
Good evening. And welcome to another edition, indeed, another program, in our Monitor series. Tonight, we look at music. Indeed, at popular music. Pop music. Recently, there has been a spate, indeed, one might almost say, a flood of popular songs, pieces, with an intellectual slant. Tunes such as Mona Lisa with a Laughing Face. Venus in Blue Trousers. Roll out the Beethoven. And indeed, one might almost say, in fact, as it were, tonight the Monitor team presents its very own intellectual pop song. And here it is.
I bet more than a Beethoven quartet, Sibelius and Bach too. Well, that's how I feel about you. You're more beautiful by far than a genuine Grecian jar. You're the loveliest piece of view, and that's how I feel about you. Well, I would be your Othello, walking right beside you everywhere you go. He and I would soon agree it's fun to own a Desdemona. Nothing quite like you, it seems, in Salvador Dali's wild dream. Baby, you're surreal, it's true, and that's how I feel about you. You would overwhelm, I know, a Titian or Renoir or a Picasso. Every night you seem to me like Aphrodite in a nightie. except from the statue of Henry Moore. It's wonderful what those curves can do, and that's how I feel about you.
What?
That's how I feel about you. Yeah, yeah, that's how I feel about you.
Good heavens.
Well, fancy meeting you.
Now, don't tell me.
It's
Nigel.
It's Jeremy.
Charles?
No. Actually, I'm Hugo.
I'm Basil.
I'm Fred.
Oh, God, so, yes, of course.
I say, why are we all on crutches?
I've got a broken leg.
So
have I. So have I.
When did you get yours? Sass Fay, skiing.
Sam Moritz, me, sheeing.
Clacton. I fell off my bike.
I
say, what do you think of the snow?
It's rather powdery.
I found it too wet, actually.
Yes, but once we had that big shower of rain, it soon went, didn't it?
Did it? Really?
God, I bet you don't know what they called me out there.
No, go on, slay me.
The terror of the slopes.
I bet you don't know what they call me.
God, what do you call me?
The cad from Cantab.
Oh, God, how appropriate.
No.
What do
they call
you? Fred.
Whenever I feel afraid, I hold my head erect and whistle a happy tune. Help.
Excuse me, Constable, but could you tell me the way to Munich?
Munich, yes, sir. Certainly, sir. Now, you want to catch the 17A from just over there outside the tobacconist, take a fourpenny. But that'll get you to Waterloo. Now, you want to catch the 3:35 from Waterloo, so you'll be at Folkestone about 5:28 in time for a cup of tea.
Tea?
Yes, that's right. Then catch the ferry, not the one to Boulogne at 6:10, though the special mail boat to Zeebrugge. Any difficulty getting on it, just mention my name, Constable Harry Robinson.
Harry Robinson.
Now, that should get you over to Zeebrugge in plenty of time to catch the 10:27 through to Dusseldorf. You should be in Dusseldorf just before midnight. Now, 40 minutes wait, straight through Cologne, Bonn, Koblenz, Bingen, Mainz, Ulm, Augsburg, and you'll be in Munich about 7 minutes to nine, sir.
I'm awfully sorry. Did I say Munich? I meant Walthamstow.
Walthamstow, eh? Walthamstow.
Yes.
Yes, well, you want to catch the 10:40 from Munich, change at Heidelberg, and you'll get the sleeper.
Support the meek. Support the meek. Support the meek, sir. Support the meek.
Support the meek? Why should I?
Because it's meek week, sir.
Meek week?
Yes, sir, it's meek week. The turn the other cheek week.
Would you be so good as to tell me what meek week is for?
Well, it's the week the meek clique speaks, sir. You don't get a squeak out of the meek any other week of the year, sir, except in meek week.
What is meek week?
Well, it's a fortnight, really.
A fortnight? Why is that?
Well, that's because the meek are weak, sir. You see, they have to have a fortnight. And mark you, if 7 days makes one week, a fortnight makes one exhausted.
Well, not today, thank you very much.
Hey, wouldn't you like to buy a copy of the Meek Weekly, sir?
The Meek Weekly?
Yes, sir. Brighten your bleak week with the Meek Weekly. The Midweek Weekly for the meek, sir.
Now, look.
Yes, sir?
Suppose I do buy a copy of the Week Weekly.
Yes, sir?
Suppose I do support the meek.
Yes, sir.
Well, what I want to know is, what do I get out of it?
Well, for a start, you inherit the earth.
And at this point, we were hoping to present once again Fritz and his performing hamsters. But instead, here's the one and only Perry Como, with some of the songs you want to hear, and we hope you'll recognize them.
What did Delaware boy, what did Delaware?
Thank you.
South of the border, down Mexico way.
Thank you so much, you know you're the greatest.
Catch a falling star.
And finally, one of my favorites.
Next week, Perry will be here again with some more of the songs you want to hear.
Genesis chapter 19, verse 26. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt.
A pillar of salt? Good heavens. Great Scott, I am surprised. What an extraordinary thing, a pillar of salt. It's not the sort of thing you'd expect, is it? Not a pillar of salt. Not nowadays, I mean. I mean, if you're walking into the lounge with your wife, the last thing you'd expect is for her to be turned into a pillar of salt. Well, perhaps not the last thing you'd expect. I mean, she's not going to be turned into a pillar of pepper because you couldn't get pepper to stay in a pillar. It would all powder away. So I suppose a pillar of salt is the penultimate thing you'd expect. Still not very likely. I mean, if you're meeting a friend at 2 o'clock and at 2:05 he hasn't turned up, you don't immediately say, "Oh, I expect he's being turned into a pillar of salt." Not immediately. I mean, if you're walking down the street, you don't say, "Ooh, look, there's a pillar of salt. I know him." Not nowadays. Still, in the days of yore, I suppose it was a very different kettle of fish. Quite run-of-the-mill. I mean, if you were out having lunch with someone, you'd have to be awfully careful about asking him for the salt, just in case he'd had a recent bereavement. Even so, it wouldn't be a commonplace. Read all about it. 43 more saline deaths in Hebron. Of course, the Romans used to foretell the future by means of omens. The omens of the Romans. The main omen, what they used was entrails, and all that entrails. For instance, an authorized magistrate would apprehend a passing goat, slit it up the middle, run an eye over its giblets, and then trot off to the forum and shout, "Good evening, here are the 9 o'clock innards." So Lot took heed of the Lord's words. I don't know how he got the message. It might have been in a gopher wood box. Or even in a pot. A pot of message. That's not right. Anyhow, the message was that the Lord was going to strike down Sodom and Gomorrah and all the people therein with fire and brimstone and blood and hail in his mercy. Of course, you remember the film Sodom and Gomorrah? Well, they were originally going to call it The Phantom Japanese Knife Grinder Strikes Again. But they rejected that, largely on grounds of irrelevance. Hymn 42.
Tried to cross the road the other day.
Oh, yeah.
A sea of motor cars was in my way.
Oh, dear.
And though I tried to struggle through the flood,
yeah,
it did no good.
No.
I felt my heart was sinking. Oh. But as I floundered on the edge and cried,
woo-hoo,
the traffic parted so that I espied,
uh-huh,
a little haven I could call my own. I wish that I were there on the traffic island. That's where I long to be. A little traffic island, a paradise for me. I watch the world go by land. That's where I'm gonna make my sweet abode. On the traffic island in the middle. So at a quiet moment in the tide, I reached my island and was satisfied. And where the traffic wardens gently sway, there I'd stay. Perhaps a week or two.
What?
But being stranded is a lonely fate.
I bet it is.
And so I started looking for a mate.
I might forget.
And sitting cross-legged up a keep-left sign.
Yes.
That's where I saw you on the traffic island. We'll build a home for two. A cozy traffic island. Just made for me and you. We can multiply land and raise the family we're dreaming of on a traffic island in the middle of the Edgware Road.
It has been announced that a team of satirists from a London club is to tour Italy. They will perform their numbers in English, and these will be communicated to the audience by means of an interpreter. We are pleased to welcome in return that controversial satirist from Germany, Herr Schert, who will tickle us with his jibes. Our own misfortune will translate.
Guten Abend. Wir haben alles Gewürzenheim, was dieses Unterhaltensein ist, aufgelesen. Und die wunderbare ausgestellte Bombenhäuser ist geschlüpft mit Lord Hume. Und der ausgezeichnete und sehr große Herr Ulbricht. Wenn der Bundesschwein und Präsident Johnson ist hierher gekommen, Schnitz, dann haben wir der sneaky Tony Armstrong Jones geschnitzt.
My mother-in-law.
Ach, Sir Craig ist sehr gut und also ist der Blut. Ach, der Blut, der Stern sie geworden, in das Gestreiben sie gewollt. Kaputt und straf die Juden. Alle straf. Blut.
Has had her teeth taken out?
Jetzt müssen die Juden, die Engländer und die Welsche und die bekilteten skottischen Männer alle seien gestraft mit einer gewundeten Nun und der große Welt kaputt.
And?
Ach so, die große Welt kaputt, hä? Huh? Weil ist die große Welt kaputt? Weil ich sie abends darauf und schnell wieder will nach der Stütze. Und es darf das Stütze nach der Stütze nach der Stütze.
A new sink put in.
Sturm von Gott, die Schwein und Stopp, Schnitz, Wurst.
You are very kind. I would now like to sing Boiled Beef and Carrots.
Scrap heap for 1930 foot. A year of contradictions of 52 weeks. And as you step back with me into the world of January 1930 foot, what is it you notice? Women in string and plastic bonnets and knee-length football shorts. The latest Paris fashion and all the rage. Men in baggy trousers, so baggy they have to jump in the air to see if they've got feet. Horse-drawn bicycles, and everywhere in the towns, streets. On postage stamps, the bearded profile of Queen Victoria. You can send a letter for 3 halfpence. Eggs are 2d each. Stingrays, only 4 shillings a dozen. A silk suit costs 0.5 crown. A small saloon car, only 12d6. And you can buy a brown paper bag for just 35 shillings. Evening dress was worn everywhere. At the ballet, on the beach, in bed. Was this then the age of elegance? Not a bit of it. It was the age of contradictions.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
February the 3rd, riots at Bath. Hailstones the size of railway engines in Crewe. Martial law declared in Wapping. Hailstones the size of hailstones in Bolton. Monsoons in Calcutta.
We now know that the hailstones the size of railway engines in Crewe were, in fact, railway engines.
Yes, the 30s, the pre-hovercraft era. Years to remember.
Mrs. Alice Robinson, or, as she was then, Alan Robinson, remembers them.
Oh, yes, I remember the 30s. There was 1936 and 1934, and let me see, 1931 and 1932...
Yes, 1930-foot. At the Prince of Wales, Maurice Chevalier was making his farewell appearance.
Well, I'm glad I'm not young anymore.
Thank you for my first encore.
Every little dream seems to whisper rain.
Meanwhile, in the League of Nations, the United Kingdom was lying third. Then...
We have now received confirmation of reports that Italy is preparing to invade the small eastern Mediterranean island of Barthus with 12 armored divisions, convoyed and supported by the entire Italian Navy.
Crisis at the League of Nations. Sir Humphrey Brush, a member of the UK delegation, described the scene.
Absolute chaos! What? Half the trouble was the interpreters were on strike. I mean, a load of frogs, krauts, dagos, Arabs, Japs, Wops, Jugs, Ruskies, Coons, Yanks, and Chinks jabbering away. I mean, it was like a blessed circus. It really was. I mean, they all spoke such rotten English.
The Italian Navy is now less than an hour from the island of Barthus.
A successful act of aggression such as this would spell the end of the League. But disaster was averted at the last moment by a strange quirk of fate.
Two shepherds saw the Italian divisions landing and chased them away.
But in the spring of 1930-foot, there were other things to excite public attention.
Winston Supermare up for the cup. Before 100,000 people at Wembley Stadium, non-leaguers Winston Supermare humbled mighty Arsenal by 9-8 in the cup upset of all time. From BBC Sound Archives, we bring you the last half minute of the match with the score 8-8.
And now the ball's out on the right, and the Western Super Rare right in the right half has it. The right half, but out to the right winger there, and the right winger cutting, it's hiding, it's hiding, back, it's taking the ball up, the ball out, it's still out, it's good. He's taking the ball, he's getting out, there he's going off, there he's going out, he's going to close the ball.
The commentator, a Western man, died just after the final.
Meanwhile, in an obscure laboratory somewhere in the depths of the physics department of Cambridge University, a promising but as yet unknown scientist was engaged in work on an unknown and secret project. What he was working on, we shall never know.
But just down the corridor, an aged professor was coming to the end of his life's work.
Next day, our attention was focused on Buckingham Palace.
Royal Dachshund ill. The country's leading veterinary surgeons in attendance. Regular bulletins will be issued.
On the streets, the excited news vendors carried the same message.
Kerchief! Kerchief!
Newspaper placards carried the single word, Fritz. The sudden illness came as a shock to the British public. Holidays were cancelled. Theatres and cinemas closed. At Wimbledon and at Lord's, play continued, but at half pace and in black. Everyone was waiting.
Here is the 9 o'clock news. The nose of the Royal Dachshund is still gravely warm this evening,
despite the quantities of brandy and Chateaubriand steak administered to him hourly. War has been declared in Europe between...
How did the ordinary, average, everyday man in the street feel?
All I remember was a sense of numbness. Everyone was waiting.
And the woman in the street?
Don't know.
On August the 8th...
Tonight, the BBC will remain open. Any further news of Fritz will be given after the striking of Big Ben every 17 minutes.
And on the morning of August the 9th...
This is... London. At a few minutes past 8 this morning, Fritz... passed... away. And here is the late football result, Swindon 2, Preston.
But there's a brighter side to the hate thing. In the world of cinema, the musicals are all the rage. At the Bijou, Piccadilly Circus, Maisie Bartlett and Sidney Prune were at the top of their form in Arthur Goat's Love in Springtime.
As long as there's a song to sing, as long as there is cure to bring, there's happiness to me through all eternity. As long as there's a song.
While at the Ritz, Leicester Square, Jesse Carter and Wilbur Gannett star in Hector Brom's smash musical hit, Loving You.
As long as there's a song to sing, as long as there is you to bring.
Court action followed. But the cinema was facing a new rival, the small screen.
At Alexandra Palace, the first live TV transmission.
At 8 o'clock on the evening of July the 17th, on 7,000 television sets in the London area, a large, dark, shapeless object floated gradually into view.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Panorama.
This, then, was 1934. A year of triumph and tragedy, of high hopes and bitter disappointment, of prunes and custard. But perhaps the climax to the year's achievements came with the launching of the mighty Queen Anne.
I name this ship the Queen Anne. God bless her and all that sail in her.
She's more than a ship, she's a gesture, a symbol of the new times ahead.
Oh, well, we've still got the Titanic.
And now here is an announcement of special interest to Somerset House. This programme, I'm sorry, I'll read that again, was written and performed by Tim Brooke Taylor, Anthony Buffery, John Cleese, David Hatch, Joe Kendall and Bill Oddie, who also wrote the songs with Hugh MacDonald. Additional material by Chris Stewart Clark, Graham Chapman and Len Piercy. Musical director, Gordon Franks. Production by Humphrey Barclay and Edmund Taylor. If all the chairs in the world were placed on top of each other, there would be room for only one person to sit down.